We're going to get into God's Word this morning. We're going to seek His face. Amen. One thing that I ask, this I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and pressing towards what is ahead. Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen wisely, and it'll not be taken away from her. Or to the rich young ruler, one thing you lack. Sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. I want to say this morning, Jesus, we want you. We want you to be our one thing today. Because you are our one thing. Amen. You see, Jesus is the one thing. Jesus is the main thing. Jesus is the only thing. Whether we have chosen to make him that in our life or not, it really doesn't matter, because he is the one thing. In fact, Jesus can't just be a part of something. And Jesus can't be left out of anything. And Jesus can't be put to the side of anything. You say, why? Because he is the one thing. Amen. He is over all, he's through all, and he's in all. All things were created by him and for him and through him. And in him, all things hold together. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were created through him. In him, we live and we move and we have our being. In the beginning, God, right? Where can I go to flee from your spirit? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are still there. He's over all, he's through all, and he's in all. The only question is have we chosen that for our own lives? That would be the question today. And so today, I want to just remind us that Jesus is the one thing. In fact, when we come to church like this and we gather as God's people, that's what we're reminding ourselves of every week, that he is the one thing, he's the main thing, and he's the only thing. Regardless of how I lived my week, regardless of what's going on in my mind, regardless of my heart and my relationships and my life, he is the one thing. And so today I've intentionally removed some of the things that we love. You know, and I love all the things that we have around here. I love the technology. I love the production. I love the lights. I love the videos. I love the band. My goodness. You know, and these things every week, they enhance our experience. And they help us to meet God. And I'm so grateful for the teams that serve and bring these opportunities to us. It's amazing. But sometimes we can over-rely on that stuff. Sometimes we can actually hide behind it. Sometimes we can make it about it and unintentionally find ourselves just entertained or spectating or watching. And so sometimes I think that it's good for us to just take all of this stuff away and just remind ourselves that Jesus is here, with or without all of this stuff. That Jesus is with you, with or without all the stuff in your life. In fact, if you could just have one day where you could remove the house, the car, the job, the spouse, the kids, and all the things in your life, you would still find that Jesus is still with you. Amen? And so today, I just want us to take some of that stuff away for about an hour here to remind ourselves that Jesus is still here. He's still here. And that if we lost everything in our lives, Jesus would still be there. Amen? Because he's over all, he's through all, and he's in all. You know, and I love to worship with the band. I love that part of it. But there's something powerful about, and beautiful even, about just worshiping together with maybe a single guitar or just the keyboard playing or even a cappella. Can you imagine what it would have been like for the children of Israel after they'd been set free from captivity for 400 years, as they are walking across the Red Sea, and there's Moses and Aaron and Miriam, and they're leading them across the Red Sea with just a single tambourine singing a song of victory? Can you imagine what it would have been like to be with David and his mighty men and just a single harp as they sing a new song to the Lord? Or how about, can you imagine what it would have been like to be in that upper room whenever it says at the end of the Passover meal that they sang a song, or they sang a hymn? Can you imagine being in there with Jesus and just singing a cappella, a hymn? It would be such a neat thing. And there's something powerful and unifying about that. And you know, last week I talked about doing things a different way. And so today I just wanted to stop and remove a few things and do things just a little bit different this morning, because it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. And when Jesus will capture your heart and when Jesus transforms your life, it's an amazing thing that happens inside of us. And it's about today, it's about reminding us that no matter where we are on our journey, that He's over all, He's through all, and He's in all. And He's inviting us today to let Him become that one thing, that main thing, that only thing. And so today I want to talk to you about making Jesus that one thing. I was reading this past week in 1 Kings chapters 10 through 14, and then over again in 2 Chronicles chapters 9 and 12, and it's basically telling you the same story. It's just kind of a different angle, a different viewpoint of it. But it's talking about King Solomon, the king of Israel. And it says that Solomon built 500 golden shields. And when his guards would go with him into the presence of the Holy of Holies, when they would go in there, the guards would pick up these 500 shields and they would stand outside. And at this point in time, Israel was at the height of its prosperity. The kingdom was as large as it had ever been. The kingdom was wealthy and prosperous, and he was wise. And it says that the whole earth came and sought counsel with Solomon because of his wisdom and his prosperity. You see, they were a representation of heaven on earth. They had built the temple. God was there. God was meeting with them, and he was revealing himself to them, and the goodness of God was everywhere. It says that the treasures that he had built up basically couldn't even be counted. That silver was so considered so invaluable that they didn't even count it when they were trying to tally up his wealth. And so he builds these 500 golden shields that his men would use as they go into the presence of God. And after Solomon's reign and his death, as we read the story, he dies. Well, his son Rehoboam takes over. But Rehoboam wasn't a good man. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, the word says. And because he rejected God, he did evil in the sight of God. And God allowed the Egyptian king to come in and to conquer Jerusalem, or conquer Israel, if you will. And they raided Israel, and it says that they took all of the treasures, including the 500 gold shields. And there's this little line that I read, and it seemed pretty insignificant at the time until I started just studying it out and praying and asking God about it. And it says that Rehoboam, after the 500 gold shields were stolen, that he went and he built or rebuilt 500 bronze shields. And his men would bear them, and they would go to the temple just like they did when the other men guarded Solomon. I think that there was I'm trying to think how I want to say this. I think that they would take these bronze shields, and at first they took them, and you can see when he built these things that basically what he did is he traded the glory of man for the glory of God. Okay? And you say, what does that mean? Well, Let's look at gold for a moment, okay? Gold is divinity. Gold is royalty. Gold is deity. Gold is precious. Gold has worth. Gold, it's powerful. It's treasure. It's soft. It doesn't tarnish. It doesn't corrode. It's created by God and only God. And it's one of the heaviest metals in the world, which is a picture of the glory of God. And it has substance and weight and significance to it. But let's take a look at bronze real quick. Bronze is a cheap substitute for gold. Bronze is an inferior standard. Bronze is something that is man-made. You take a little bit of copper and a little bit of tin, and you put them together, and you get bronze. And so you can put those together, and it becomes whatever man wants it to be. It's man-made. And so it's a mixture, but it tarnishes, and it corrodes, and it's inferior, and it's cheap. It's a substitute. It has all these deficiencies and impurities in it. And you can see that it's a quick trade for the glory of God, for the glory of man. And when Rehoboam's soldiers first bear these bronze shields, I can only imagine that there had to be a sorrow and a heaviness and a brokenness inside of them. Because you see, these men, they remember what the standard was like in the kingdom before Rehoboam took over. They knew what it was like to be prosperous and wealthy and have that great life under God's rule and reign. And now they've got these cheap, very light and very hard bronze shields. And I think that they must have grieved just a little bit when they first had to use them, because they knew the glory, and now they're seeing this cheap substitute. But after they grieved a while, I think that probably over time, they actually preferred these bronze shields to the gold shields. And why would I think that? It's because bronze is significantly lighter. It's so easy to carry, and it doesn't have the weight that gold has. It doesn't have any glory, and so it's easier to carry around. And I think they probably would go back to the guard room, and instead of putting them away like they would the gold shields, they just probably threw them in there after a while. Because if it was a gold shield, they would have taken care of it. It was valuable. They would have had to have someone guard them and take care of them. But nobody really cares about the bronze shields, and so they would just throw them wherever. And I believe that this probably became normal. And so that first generation would have remembered what the glory of God was like. But can you imagine what the second generation and the next generation? You see, they would begin to think that bronze was the new standard. They would think that this bronze is the new standard. Because we are God's children, right? They were God's children, and I'm sure they thought, well, we're God's children. We got bronze. Surely this is what God wants us to have. But they didn't understand that God had something for them way better, because they didn't know any better. And it would have become a normal way of life, even though it was a cheap substitute for what God had for them. You see, when you think about gold and bronze throughout the Bible, you find that bronze is a picture of man. It's a picture of sin. It's a picture of judgment, if you will. It's a picture of, it's a form of godliness with no power. In fact, when you look at the tabernacle and the temple, it has bronze altars where the animals were sacrificed, representing the sin of man, stain and tarnish and judgment. And then the priest would get up and they would go over to a bronze bowl and they would wash themselves after that. And again, representing the sin and the judgment, the tarnish and the stain. But the moment that you walk into the Holy of Holies, into the holy place, everything was made of pure gold. Pure gold, powerful, soft, made by God. You see the table, the lampstand, even the very Ark of the Covenant was made out of pure gold, representing the beauty and the power and the treasure and the worth and the standard of God. His ways, His word, His kingdom. Amen? And you'll see all throughout Scripture, bronze is used for the sin of man, to represent the sin of man. Like when the Israelites were sinning in the desert and God told Moses to go make a bronze serpent and hold it up so that the people could be saved. Or how about the last king of Israel, when the Babylonians took him into, they overpowered him and captured him. They put him into bronze handcuffs, representing that he's now enslaved to the standard of the world. Bronze shields will always lead you to bronze handcuffs at some point in time. And now some of you are trying to catch my analogy this morning, and that's okay. I'm trying to explain it in a way. But just stay with me on this, okay? So let's think about this. Think of a gold shield in and of itself. You have this gold shield. It's a paradox because it's a terrible weapon. It's a terrible weapon. Why? Because it's heavy. It's soft. You wouldn't really want to go into battle with this. But however, on the other hand, bronze is light and it's hard. And it was actually like if you had bronze shields, you were on the cutting edge of technology because they were light and they were incredibly hard. And can I tell you, this is what you want to fight your battles with. But this is what you want when God fights your battle. Amen? Amen? So when Solomon and his men would go into the temple of the Lord, it was basically saying, when they would take their gold shields, it was basically saying, we don't fight our own battles. He fights our battles. He fights them. And we stand here by faith, and we let him fight the battle. You see, gold shields represents trust and surrender and submission and belief and faith. In fact, in Ephesians 6, when it talks about the armor of God, it says this. It says, pick up the shield of faith. But then over in 1 Peter, if you read over there, it tells us that it says your faith is being refined like pure gold. So when you read that passage, have you ever thought about that shield of faith is a gold shield? That's why it says three times in that little run, it says stand. Stand your ground. Stand firm. Why? Because you have a gold shield. It's a terrible weapon. It's not something you want to go fight. But if you're wanting the one that fights on your behalf, this is the shield to have. But if you want a bronze shield, you'll have to go fight your own battles. You have to do your own thing. You have to go and be the one that makes it happen when you pick up the bronze shield. And this is this is an exhausting way to live. Fighting your own battles, doing your own thing, trying your best. It's an exhausting way to live. In fact, it goes on to say, brandish the shield of faith, which can extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. And here's the interesting thing about gold. Did you realize that once gold has been purified, it cannot catch on fire? In fact, the more you refine it, the more pure it gets and the brighter and purer that it becomes. But bronze, however, on the other hand, with all the impurities and everything, it can catch on fire. And it can actually burn when it's heated up. And it gets darker and even more stained and even more tarnished than it already was. And so what I'm showing you this morning is what happened to the people of Israel. The world came in and stole God's glory, the golden shields. And Rehoboam comes in and he rebuilds bronze shields. And just one generation later, they thought that they had to fight their own battles. They thought we've got to do this on our own. That we're good, tarnished mixture, form of godless power. Godliness with no power. And when we look at our relationship with God, it's like the world has come in and stole our own golden shields from us. The world has come into our lives and stole the standard, the glory, the weight, the worth, if you will, the beauty of God and his kingdom and his ways. And we've rebuilt ourselves some bronze shields. And we think that we're better than the world because we have a bronze shield. Just because they may have a wooden one or an iron one or a clay one. But I want to tell you that you're not any better than the world, anybody in the world, as long as you have a bronze shield in your hand. If you don't have a gold shield, all of it is an inferior standard. Amen? And this is the problem with bronze. You see, bronze can look good on the outside, but it takes a lot of polishing. It takes a lot of work because it tarnishes and it turns green. And gold is created by God. Man can't make it. Bronze is not made by God. Bronze is made by man. And so it has to be maintained by man. Gold is created by God and it's sustained by God. And here's what's happened. I think the world has stolen the gold standard, the ways of God, and replaced it with a bunch of bronze. So we run around with a bunch of bronze marriages, bronze homes, bronze lives, bronze mindsets, bronze attitudes, perspectives, behavior, bronze work, bronze calendars, bronze churches, a form of godliness with no power. Claiming to know God by our actions, but yet denying Him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I think we've rebuilt a whole lot of things in bronze because that's what's been modeled to us. That's all we know. We're that two or three generations down from Rehoboam, from his men, and all we've ever seen is bronze. So we think that that's the standard, but I'm here this morning to tell you no, gold is the standard. In fact, if you can catch this, in heaven, there is no bronze. There's no bronze in heaven. What are the streets in heaven made out of? The Bible says gold. That's right. My goodness. It says that it's so pure that it's almost like glass. It's heavy. It's so full of glory, so precious, and so worthwhile that even in heaven, all of it is made of gold. And why would I want to build anything out of bronze in this life if my heart's cry is for thy kingdom come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? Then I can't build anything in my life, and you can't build anything in your life out of bronze. Which means what? It means that I got to first identify and acknowledge the bronze that's in my life and in your life. You see, this is an inferior standard for what marriage should look like. It's an inferior standard for what parenting should look like. It's an inferior standard for being a young adult. And here's the problem, is that we're so used to carrying the bronze that for so many of us, we think that this is doing the best that we can do. And so we get used to carrying around this light and hard that when we put it down, and we try to pick up this gold shield, we're like, oh my goodness, this thing is heavy. It's so heavy. Oh my goodness, the ways of God are heavy. Oh my goodness, the ways of trying to memorize scripture, it's heavy. This fear, it's so heavy. Being a disciple, it's so heavy. Carrying my cross, it's heavy. You see, I want you to understand that it's not that heavy though. It's just what we're used to carrying. We're carrying bronze and we're used to that. The Bible says that all have fallen and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which means you were made for it. Most of us, we get stuck on the part that says all of us have fallen. But I want you to focus this morning on the part that it says that you were made for it. It says, for all is sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that means the glory of God is what you were designed to carry. It means you were made for it. You were made to carry the weight and the worth and the gold and the heaviness. And so you might be used to carrying what's light and what's hard, but God wants to create within you the glory of God on this earth. And it might be heavy at first, but guess what? 2 Corinthians tells us, it says, that as we behold Him and as we look to Him, we are transformed into His image and we go from glory to glory. It's like He will strengthen me and to hold up that golden shield and with purity and with power and weight and substance as long as I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. In fact, it tells us that one of the names of God is that He is our shield and our great reward. He actually is the gold shield. We've just been so used to carrying bronze that we just don't know anything else. And so a different way is putting down the bronze and learning to pick up the gold. But when you put down the bronze, here's what happens. You're exposed. You're vulnerable. And most of us want to be in control so badly that we don't trust God enough for the transition of setting down the bronze and picking up the gold. So what we do is we just hold on to the bronze because it's lighter and it's harder. and I know how to fight with this. I know how to go out and fight with this. I don't know how to just stand with this. And the interesting thing to me about this gold is that gold is created by God and bronze is created by man. You see, gold, you can never create it, but you can go find it. Do you realize that your faith is like gold? So if that's true then of your faith, then you can create it because you can seek God and you can find Him. And when you find Him, it says that you will have gold. You'll have His glory because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Let us fix our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith. So just like that, I can create gold. I can't create gold. I'm sorry. I can't create gold and I can't create faith. But what I can do is I can look to Him. And as I get closer to Him and as I listen to Him, then He shows me where the gold is. And I can take and put that in my life as a golden shield. And I'm able to stand strong with my golden shield. The question is do you have courage to put down the bronze this morning? To lift your eyes to maybe, just maybe, there's more over here than we've ever begun to ask or imagine? Or are we just going to remain thinking about the bronze and it's all we know, it's what we've been taught? Or are we going to seek His face? That there is a greater standard out there. There is more of the glory of God available for your life, for your marriage, for your kids, for your work, for your struggles. Your entire life is made for the glory of God. So don't settle this morning for that cheap substitute, the form of godliness with no power. You see, we're basically talking about the Pharisees here. You know, they got a kind of a bad rap because you know what? They were trying. They were trying. They weren't doing a very good job, but they were trying. But they had just built their lives on the bronze shields, the form of godliness with no power. They were trying, they were polishing, they were trying to make it look good on the outside. Did you know that in Isaiah, God even says, my people has bronze foreheads? You know what that means? It means that people have hard-headed realities with thoughts that are mixed with the world and with God's kingdom. Impure, tarnished, corrupted, corroded, and a cheap substitute and an inferior standard. You see, the bronze shields were carried around by the Pharisees. They carried them around. If you can catch this, Jesus, after the golden shields were stolen, that was a physical picture of a spiritual truth. Remember the Old Testament, physical pictures, spiritual truth. Real things that really happen that God shows us. That was a physical picture of a spiritual truth, Jesus. And for all those years until Jesus came, the golden standard of the kingdom was gone. And then Jesus shows up, and in one moment when He gives the Sermon on the Mount, He re-clarifies that standard. On the Sermon on the Mount, He shows up and He says, you have heard it said, but I say to you. In other words, what He's saying is you've been carrying around a bunch of bronze. Let me tell you what the kingdom is like. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. I know what we mainly think about that. We think it's about the act, but no, what it is, it's about a person who lives free from lust. You've heard it said, do not commit murder. It's about having a heart that's free from anger. You've heard it said, love your neighbor. It's about learning how to love your enemies and bless those who persecute you and pray for those who are against you. And in this Sermon on the Mount, He resets the entire gold standard. And it doesn't feel impossible to anyone because the whole message starts out with this. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. In other words, anyone and everyone who wants to live in the glory of God, it's here and it's available for them right now if they want it. You just have to put down the bronze shields. Is this making any sense to you this morning? You see, God is moving His people from a good American church to kingdom come. His kingdom come is coming. Believe it or not, His kingdom is coming. And so this is what I'm talking about this morning. Good American Church, many things. Kingdom come, one thing. Good American Church, fear of man. Kingdom come, fear of the Lord. Good American Church, entertainment. Kingdom come, worship. I've got a bunch of them, folks. Stick with me. Good American Church, consumerism. Kingdom come, communion. Good American Church, selfishness. Kingdom come, servanthood. Good American Church, transaction. Kingdom come, transformation. Good American Church, polish and performance. Kingdom come, His presence. Good American Church, bronze shields, a form of godliness with no power. Kingdom come, gold shields. Divinity, royalty, soft, treasure, valuable, incorruptible. It's the purity, the glory, the beauty of God. And this is what we're trying to become, not just as a people, but as individuals in our own lives, in our own journey with Jesus this morning. We're just so used to carrying these bronze shields that this gold feels so radical and it feels impossible. And by yourself, let me tell you, it is. But with Jesus, it's normal. And it's time to change our mindset. It's time to change our perspective and by faith lay down that bronze. And even as I'm saying it to you this morning, I want you to begin to ask yourself, what is my bronze? What are the things in my life that have a form of godliness with no power? What is my, I do it on my own? What are the things that I have to polish so that it doesn't tarnish and rust and corrode? What are those things? What have I taken and mixed together with my own? And am I willing to trust God enough this morning to be exposed in the transition from the glory of man to the glory of God this morning? This is what a different way looks like. And for some of you, maybe this is an analogy this morning that will help you catch on to it. And you'll say, I want this. I want the glory of God. I want to put down my bronze this morning, and I want the glory of God. I don't want to fight my battles anymore. I don't want to have to be the one struggling and fighting and pushing and trying to move forward and doing all the work whenever all I have to do is call on the name of the Lord and pick up my shield of faith, the gold shield, and all I have to do is stand and let Him fight my battle. This morning, I want you to make a decision. I want you to choose which are you going to carry? Do you want to carry bronze and struggle and have a hard way of life? Or do you want just a simple battle plan? I just want to stand. I want to stand in the glory of God. I want to be in His presence because in His presence, the enemy flees. You see, this morning we have a choice. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus into your heart, today would be a great time to do that. You see, the kingdom is coming, and we can choose whether we just want to go to a great American church, good American church, or do we want to be in the glory of God? Do we want to be in His kingdom when it comes? Amen. I want you to stand with me if you would. I want the prayer team, if you'll come back down, if I can get the prayer team to come and this morning, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know that you can come down and someone will be here willing and ready to pray with you to receive Jesus into your heart. But also this morning, if you're here and you're the ones that you're holding the bronze shield and you haven't picked up the shield of faith in years because this is all you know, You know that you can fight your battle with this. You know this is familiar. This is light and it's hard. But I'm telling you, there's a better way. There's a better way to pick up the shield of faith and to just stand and let Jesus fight your battles for you. And so if you're here this morning and you're fighting a battle and you're facing struggles in your life and you want someone to pray with you and pick up that shield with you, they'll be here to pray with you also about that. And so Michelle and Cody are going to sing this song again. And as they sing, I want you to just come down and let's pray and let's spend some time putting down our bronze this morning and let's pick up the gold this morning, the glory of God. Amen. Let's sing this together. And if you feel led by the Lord this morning, I want you to come down and pray. Whether it's for salvation or whether you're struggling, you're trying to do it on your own, I want you to just come and pray with these people if you would. Let's sing. Father, I love you this morning. I thank you, Jesus.
And I thank you for your word today.
Lord, we need you in this place. Father, we all need you today. Father, I pray that you would help us today to put down the bronze in our life, to take away those things that are hard and the struggles that we face that we're trying to fight on our own this morning. God, and I pray that you would help us to have the faith to lay that down and to pick up the shield that you have faith that you've given us today. Lord Jesus, that you would move in the hearts of your people this morning is my prayer. God, that we would have heard your word and it would prick our heart, our very soul this morning, God, and that we would be moved by your word to draw closer to you so that we would become more like you today, God. So, Father, when we leave this place, we don't leave like we came in. We leave changed by you and by your word and by your power and by your might, says the Lord. Father, we love you and we praise you this morning. Father, I pray that if anyone is here and they don't know you as their Savior, Father, that they'll come and they'll pour out their heart to you this morning and they'll receive you and the gift of salvation that is so freely given by you. God, we don't have to beg for it. We don't have to plead. You've already paid the price. It's a gift. All we have to do is purpose within our heart that we accept it and that we understand that you have died and you rose again. And Father, that you're sitting on the right hand of the chief of God this morning, making intercession for us. Father, today I just lift up any person in this room that's going through a trial that they've never been through before. Father, facing things that they don't know what the outcome is going to be. God, I pray today that have the faith this morning to stand and let you fight that battle for them. Father, I just love you. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we need you this morning. We need you this morning, God. Father, we praise your holy name. We lift you up today, God. We glorify you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, you're the one thing. You're the only thing. Father, we thank you that everything is created by you and for you and through you. God, we just know that you're here in our midst. Your word says where two or three are gathered in my name, there you are in the midst. And so, God, we just cry out to you this morning. Father, minister to those that are here this morning that are struggling, that maybe they're sick. Maybe it's a financial struggle. Maybe it's a spiritual struggle or an emotional struggle. Father, I pray this morning, whatever it is, that you, Father, would fight that battle for them as they stand today with their shield of faith, God, knowing that you will fight their battle for them. Father, I love you and I praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in this place. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We give you all glory and all praise. All glory and all praise. Jesus, 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 we love you. We praise you, Father. Jesus, Jesus. Just today, God, not just today, but every day, Father, we love you and we praise you, Jesus. We give you glory and honor today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Move in our midst this morning, Jesus, because you are what we need. Father, I need you this morning. I need you. Jesus is doing a work in the hearts of these people this morning. We're in His presence this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we praise You. We thank You, Lord. I thank You, Jesus, for what You're doing right now in the hearts and the lives of our church. God, that You would help us, Lord Jesus, to look to You, to keep our eyes on You, Father. Help us to learn to stand. Help us to stand, God. Stand firm. Jesus, we love You. We praise You, Father. I thank You, Jesus. I thank You, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've given your life to Jesus, we would love to know about that. There's some cards in the back of your seat, and we'd love for you to fill that out. We're not going to come and invade your privacy or anything, but we would like to pray for you and send you a little something in the mail, helping you with your next step. What to do now? I've received Jesus. Now what do I do? I'd like to send you something this week. So if you'll fill that card out and let us know that you received Jesus, We'll be glad to do that this week. And if you're here this morning and you've had a struggle and you're still not sure whether you're ready to pick up that shield of faith, I just want to encourage you, and I want you to know I'm praying for you this week, and that God would just move upon your heart and in your mind and encourage you to put down that bronze this week and to pick up the gold shield of faith and to lean on Him and not your own understanding. Amen. Father, I love You and I thank You, Jesus, for what You've done in this place this morning. We give all glory and all honor and all credit to You. It's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen.